welcome to another edition of Zero Hour, the Conventions Podcast. We're here and we're with Lee May, and I'm your host, Eric Kagami, and we're going to talk about Otakon. Otakon is a con we've been covering since 2013. It is the second largest anime convention in the United States. It had its home in Baltimore for over a decade, and now it is having their first inaugural first year in downtown Washington, D.C. We had one person cover Otakon this year, and that's our East Coast representative, Lee May. I couldn't go to Otakon this year because, life happens. So here with us is Lee May, and take it away.
Hi, everyone. Yeah, even though I was the only one covering it, I really miss you, Scarlett, wish you could be there too. But it was definitely a really cool experience, great new venue. Like, overall, I think Otakon did a great job this year.
All right. So, okay, tell us about your journey getting down to Otakon.
Yeah, so for traveling, I actually didn't have to take the train or bus, thank God, because after Anime Next, if you were listening to that podcast, the bus was a nightmare. And the train, when I was looking at prices, were basically the same price as an airplane. Mm-hmm. Also, you know, not the best situation, but I carpooled with some people from New Jersey and Pennsylvania. So we just basically made a big loop, so the drivers went to New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and then we went down to D.C. And that was, like, traffic was annoying, but, you know, it was reasonable. Like, it would have taken the same amount of time as if you took a bus, more or less, but obviously a lot cheaper because with gas prices, it actually was fine, which is nice. But once we got there, though, what's really cool is this new location is very central. So, like, where the con center is, there's so many hotels in the area. Like, even if you didn't get into the official hotel, it's really easy to, like, walk around. Even if it's, like, a 10-minute walk, really easy walk, really safe. Like, I never felt any, like, danger at all during the whole convention.
Oh, that's nice. I mean, I'm quite familiar with downtown D.C., and I know there's, like, quite a few hotels in the surrounding area, because I know that the Walter E. Stephens, I think the Washington, D.C. Convention Center is supposed to be pretty huge, and they've been known to host, like, really large-scale events.
Yeah.
So, which hotel did you end up staying at?
So, I ended up staying at the Grand Hyatt.
Oh, what was that stay like?
Yeah, it was actually a really pretty hotel. Like, it was very similar in setup to the official con hotel. So, the official convention hotel that's connected to the Walter E. Washington Convention Center is the Marriott Marquis. And both the Marriott Marquis and the Grand Hyatt both have a setup that's similar to KatsuCon, actually. So you know how KatsuCon, the Gaylord, they have that whole area with all the, there's all the hotels that you have these windows you look out, or balconies and look out into the central area?
Absolutely.
Yeah, both the Marriott Marquis and the Grand Hyatt had that similar setup. When the lobby, when you go into lobby and you look up, you can see, like, as if the hotel, the four walls surrounding, you can see, like, all these rooms going up high. So it's really pretty. And it was a very fancy, like, Grand Hyatt where I stayed. It was super fancier than I thought. Like, when I walked in, I was like, whoa, is this my hotel? Like, I thought it was in the wrong place. I was, like, texting my roommates, like, are you sure it's a Grand Hyatt? And they're like, yeah. Like, are you sure? This looks super fancy looking. It was, like, really fancy looking couches in the lobby, like, escalators to go down. I guess the lobby split different sections. And, like, just, like, marble, like, really pretty. Mm-hmm. And a decent walk to the con too. It was like a little less than 10 minutes, give or take. And it was just basically one straight shot to the convention center.
That's good.
And I know that people were staying in all sorts of hotels nearby the con. I forgot the names of all of them besides the Grand Hyatt and Marriott Marquis, but I know, like, I knew people who were staying in, I think, at least 5 different hotels that they could all just walk to the con. So I think it was a very convenient location with a lot of room for growth, just because there's so many hotels in walking distance from the convention center.
That's good. It seems like everything was just placed very conveniently. Yeah. I know, like, a lot of people had that worry about the area. And you mentioned the area was generally safe, right?
Yeah, I mean, I walked back and forth at one point, like, after midnight, and it was well lit. Like, the whole area, everywhere I walked was very well lit. Never felt unsafe at all. It's a really rich area, actually. Like, I know the path, like, the route that I take to walk from the Grand Hyatt to the convention center, tons of boutiques, like really fancy boutiques.
Oh, that's nice. I mean, one of the issues that people had with downtown Baltimore was just the fact that, like, it was just, like, bum city.
Well, yeah, like, with Baltimore, actually, I remember when I may have stayed in different places and the 2 years I did go to Otakon Baltimore, but both years I remember the walk back to my hotel did not really feel the safest. Like, I felt like it was fine by the harbor, you know, like directly around the con, but once you walk even like just a few blocks in a certain direction, it starts getting kind of sketchy.
Right.
I remember I decided just to take Uber at some point because I was like, I'm not walking back at night.
But yeah, but it seems to me that like it's pretty safe and well lit. Like, so if you're going to like an after midnight or a late night event, you can just walk safely back to your hotel with no problem.
Exactly. And that's what I liked a lot about the new location in D.C. I'm not sure about like in all directions, but from what I heard from other people and talking to other people, some people stayed at hotels, some people stayed at Airbnb. But across the board, everyone who was basically staying around the con said they always felt really safe, even walking by themselves, like no problem. Even walking in like full cosplay, like, yeah. And obviously you get stared at, you know, by normal people, like those boutique shoppers are like, what the heck? But you know, like there was no like danger associated with that, just people kind of wonder what the heck's going on.
Yeah, what else can you tell us about the new location in D.C.?
Yeah, so the new location in D.C. is also surprisingly close to, like, sightseeing. Like, I didn't actually go sightseeing or anything, but I know there's some people who went to go see the White House and stuff. I remember at one point when because while I was leaving the con on Sunday, the people who were giving me a ride back, we wanted to go get dinner first, or, like, I guess, not brunch, but it's called, like, litter, like a lunch-dinner thing. We wanted to eat, like, a meal before leaving, and then we'd go to my hotel. But we got sort of lost trying to find my hotel after we ate at Shake Shack, and we somehow accidentally were like, wait, is that the White House? Obviously, it wasn't a far drive, you know, because we were just trying to get back to my hotel, which all in the same area, but we somehow went a wrong turn or something. All of a sudden, we see the White House, and we're like, oh, that's not the right direction, but that's pretty cool. So, and I know other people who were there, especially people in D.C. the first time, did, like, say they were trying to go sightseeing and stuff during the con as well, since it's so central. Mm-hmm. And also, food was pretty accessible, too. Like, I didn't really go to any restaurants during the con, but I know, like, on Thursday night, a friend, like, brought me food from the Hard Rock Cafe, and they told me, like, it was really good food, but it was, like, super crowded there, which isn't too surprising. But on the walk, like, between my hotel and the con center, there's a Starbucks, like, right there, like, midway down the walk. So every day when I would walk to the con, I would stop by that Starbucks for breakfast.
Oh, absolutely. Like, what can you tell us about the new brand new convention center that Otakon's using?
Yeah, it's a beautiful convention center. I really love this convention center. It's really big and roomy. Like, even with the crowds of people at Otakon, like, it's a lot of people, but it wasn't crowded or congested. Like, it felt like people would still move around. It was really nice because we also had official photo shoot locations, you know, for, like, gatherings. Like, on a map, you could see, like, you know, photo 1, photo 2, et cetera, and they were in, like, an area, you know, away from traffic. So you could, like, have a gathering without obstructing, like, hallways or anything like that, which I thought was really nice.
That's good, because, like, one of the issues I've had, like, with some cons is they'll have, like, a photo shoot location where there's, like, a lot of foot traffic going on, and, like, you really couldn't get from point A to point B. But that's what was very nice, that they were the organizers were very cognizant about what areas would be high traffic areas and what areas would be all right for a large photo shoot gathering.
Exactly. Like, they thought it through really well. Like, I noticed I went to a few photo shoots during there. Like, I went to the Love Life one. I was late, but I did get there for, like, the ending half of it. I went to the Vocaloid photo shoot, and I saw, like, the ending of the Togarambo photo shoot, and, like, the photo locations were really nice. I mean, the Vocaloid one was a bit weird, though, because that was kind of a strange location. Like, it didn't really obstruct traffic. It was just a weird setup, because the other ones were, like, on a staircase that wasn't being used, because a lot of people you were supposed to use the elevators, and not elevators, escalators. So they had, like, some staircases they'd use for photo shoots. But the Vocaloid photo shoot section was, like, more like a little nook area, which was fine. But the way they had it set up, you know how usually when you have it set up, you have, like, photographers or, like, people who are watching the photo shoot will stand, like, farther away. And, like, you know, there would be an area where you would, when they call a character, you would go there. The way they had it set up, it seems like a reverse of what I thought you would have it. Like, just the orientation was a bit weird, as if you're facing, like, a wall.
Mm-hmm.
But besides that, you know, I don't know if it was just that one location, but it was good that everything was, like, away from traffic, so no one would have to deal with, like, oh, you have to move because, you know, it's too big for location. They planned it out so it was, like, all the photo shoots I saw going on were not too big for the location they were at.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, without further ado, let's go into day zero. Can you tell me what you did on day zero?
Day zero. To be honest, I actually didn't do too much on day zero because I got there pretty late. Like, I got there maybe like 7 or 8 p.m. Can't remember the exact time, but it was like pretty late. So basically, I changed into casual cosplay, and then my friend brought me like food from Hard Rock Cafe, so I ate like burgers, and I shared fries with people in the lobby, and it was actually really nice too at the Grand Hyatt lobby where I was staying at. Same with Marriott Marquis too. They let people like eat food, even outside food. Like, they don't mind.
That's good.
It's really cool. So, like, when my friend bought me food, I just, like, ate it in the lobby. And it's fine, you just pick up after yourself and keep it clean. And so that was nice. And then I didn't go to the actual con because I checked, and by the time I got there, they didn't have the press operations open, so I couldn't get the pass yet. So I just basically chilled in the hotel. And it was actually a lot of, like, cosplayers, even though it was day zero. Mm-hmm. And what was cool is, you know, cosplaying, like, you know, I got to meet my roommates because I only really knew one roommate that was in my room. So everyone else was, like, new people. So it's cool, you know, getting to know other people and, like, being silly. It was sort of, like, our silly day. We, like, filmed random silly videos and things. And then I got to meet, like, one of my online friends that I never actually met. Like, I met her, technically met her at the Urine Ice Cafe, but we didn't actually, like, say anything because I was working the cafe, right? It was just, like, she attended. But we decided to meet up on day zero, so that was cool. It was a chill day, and I was surprised, actually, by the number of cosplayers there. But I guess that makes sense, though, because I think Otakon, even in Baltimore, known J-Zero, a lot of people cosplay, too.
Mm-hmm.
And what was interesting is, do you remember how in Baltimore they had the Matsuri thing?
Yeah, what did they do for this time around?
Yeah, so this year, I don't know if they did anything during daytime, because I wasn't there, because I got there late, but they had this cool thing that was, like, a track. It's, like, new. Like, instead of just, like, having Matsuri on, like, that Thursday, you know how it's like an event outside they did in Baltimore?
Mm-hmm.
So what they did at this year was apparently like a track type situation. I know some cons do that, like Borough Con did tracks, but I don't know if I think it's the first time Otakon did it.
Hmm.
So basically what that means is like there's a track you can follow. So it's like what you mean, I guess it's like they plan out the event, so I guess they don't coincide, so you can go to all of them if you want to go on that track.
Hmm.
So it's like throughout the con.
So like it's kind of like how Cats Con, they have like their Japanese Cultural Institute, which is kind of like a track of its own where you can like just like go one after the other and it doesn't conflict with anything else under that topic matter.
Exactly.
Yeah, I noticed that's much more common on the East Coast than it is on the West Coast because the concept of tracks is like does not exist on the West Coast.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, believe it or not.
Yeah. That's cool. No, because I guess it's something that's pretty unique for East Coast cons, because I know what they did was it's like a, basically, the Otakon Matsuri is basically a cultural entertainment track.
Oh, that's
so what
nice.
That is throughout the weekend, you obviously have the musical acts that you have, the performers, but there's also, like, the yukata contest, you know, there's taiko drumming, like, judo, you know, martial arts stuff, Japanese tea ceremony, but it's sort of, like, spread out. And they also had, like, a guest cosplayer. Stella Chu was featured as part of the track, too. But, like, basically it's, like, all across the weekend instead of just on a Thursday.
Hmm, interesting. I'm glad that they've really expanded that into the con.
Mm-hmm. I think it's cool, too. Although I'm hoping they'll get to do some sort of outdoor event in the future, though, because I really like how in Baltimore, when they did have that, you know, Matsuri outside was really nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really nice. Okay, what can you tell me about day one?
Day one, Friday. Day one's always exciting. It's like first day of the con, officially, even though I guess day zero, some people make it like that's part of the con, right? But with day one, first things first, obviously picking up my badge.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of a funny anecdote, but I went to the wrong location. Like they directed me to, like, obviously the Marriott Marquis is connected to the convention center, so a lot of times they have things going on there. So they sent me to the Marriott Marquis and said, oh, there should be a badge room on the upper level. So I went on the mezzanine upper level. So I went to that level. And then when I was looking around, I saw this little sign. You know the Dream Daddy thing that went viral?
Yeah, I've heard about that.
Yeah, so what I saw this room that said Dream Badging. It's a dad staff badging simulator. And I thought that was the room Professor went there. But I put my, you know, I was like, oh, this is so cute. And I went inside and I was like, oh yeah, this is my name. Okay, I'm here to pick up my badge. And they were like, you're not in the database. I was like, what? I had like a mini panic, like, wait, what do you mean? And then we realized later that wasn't, they didn't have press there. And it was like a few rooms over. So then I went to the press room, it was all good. But I thought it was cute that they made like a giant dream badging sign thing. Mm-hmm. And then it looked just like the logo Dream Daddy too. Mm-hmm. And there's definitely something newer that exploded. So they like, that was very up to date.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then Friday, I actually explored outside and found like areas where like were popular for photo shoots. And a lot of people were shooting. There's like a park across the street from the con, like a public park. So a lot of people went there. There's also like a church area, like a public church that I don't really know, but it seems like no one minded. Like there was a lot of people shooting like at the church and outside the church.
Excellent.
And it was like a church garden. And I remember seeing when I was there, I did like a mini shoot by the church, and the people in the church were like watching. They kept like giving thumbs up and stuff. So I think they were having fun seeing what was going on too. Mm-hmm. And then I also checked out the dealer's room on Friday.
Okay.
And yeah.
Yeah, how'd that go?
Yeah, that was huge, first of all. I got lost in it, to be totally honest.
Oh, wow. That big?
Yeah, like, I got lost. Like, not lost, like, I can't find... Actually, no, at one point I was like, where's the exit? I was walking in a big circle, like, where's the exit? And I found the exit. But, like, at one point I saw this Pudicuda machine. I was like, oh, my God, the same thing, like, the same booth that they had at Anime Next, too, that had, like, the claw machines and the Pudicuda machines. It's like, oh, I have to go there. I was really excited. But then when I went back there... Like, when I try to find it again, like, the same day, okay, mind you, it was, like, within the same hour. Like, I saw it, and I walked around. I said, I'm going to go back and try to find it. And I got so lost, I was walking for, like, an hour trying to find it again. I was like, I know I saw it, but it was so big. It was just, like, wait, which direction? And there were a lot of repetitive areas, too. Like, there's, like, a food stall section, you know, like, when they have food. And then there was, like, an identical, or a few, I swear, there's a few identical ones with the same name of the food place. They look exactly the same but in different sections. So I kept thinking I was passing the same place, but I wasn't. And I was like, oh my gosh, what's going on? And I eventually found it again, but I needed help. I had to like meet up with someone and they showed me. I'm like, okay, someone else is better, some direction. But it's big. It's big.
Gotcha, gotcha. Yeah, I was looking at some of the photos from online, and not only was it huge, but there's like a lot of walking space there too.
Yeah, it's pretty roomy. And they have a lot of like industry... section, like industry, not industry, I guess, but like industry vendor section, like in like Funimation, Crunchyroll, etc. And like they had really big sets for that. And that was separate from our sale. At first, I thought it was combined because it was so big, but that was just dealers. It's huge. And it was actually on Friday, it was open until 8 p.m.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
On Friday. And so it's pretty late, I think, right? Other cons usually don't open until 8, right?
Yeah, the ones on the West Coast, they're usually open until about 5, 6 o'clock.
Yeah, it's what I remember from even other East Coast cons I've been to. I think Otakon was open the latest. I haven't seen a place open until 8 on Friday. And then, like, Aris Dali I didn't go to on Friday, but I know, like, friends went, and it was open on Friday until 11 p.m.
Whoa, that's crazy.
Really late. So a ton of people went to shop art, like, late at night. But I know one of my friends told me when she went Friday night at, like, 10:30 p.m. to go shopping, some artists didn't stay the whole... I mean, I'm sure they have a life, right? They don't want to be there at their booths till 11 p.m. So she said some booths had already closed up by that point, but some people obviously were staying there because they want to, you know, sell more. But I thought that was really interesting. That was open until 11 p.m. because it's super late to have the artist alley open.
Yeah, I feel like bad for artists to have to like be there like all day and just have to like man their booths for like almost overtime.
Yeah, that's why a lot of people, like my friends who went late nights, so I love artist art left, so they actually like just put a sign like, you know, that they're closed up for the night because obviously. They don't want to stay till 11 p.m. Not everyone's about that life, so. But I think it's a cool option to have, like, in case you want to do late night shopping or something.
Oh, absolutely. Especially, like, if you're, like, working in the dealer's hall or if you have, like, or if you have, like, a long volunteer or staffing shift. Like, this is a nice way to, like, even just check that out.
That's true. So that after your shift, you can go, or you're, like, a volunteer worker for the con or something. So that after your shift, you can go and check out the artist alley at least.
Indeed. Anything else on Friday?
Yeah, so on Friday, I think that was about it on Friday. Yeah, it was a lot of, like, scouting out the area, you know, checking out the con itself, but also, like, dealers from getting lost in that. Like, I was like, this is so big. And then also on Friday night, I ordered delivery, which is interesting, to the Merit Marquee lobby, and I was getting paranoid about what it was so big, like, what, they're at the wrong entrance or something? But it was actually surprisingly streamlined, and, like, I ordered through E24, and it was, like, really streamlined. It was actually faster than the prediction on the app. And I know, like, I wasn't the only one with that idea because a lot of people were ordering, like, takeout or delivery. and just eating in the Miramar Key lobby.
Oh, that's
so that's
nice.
So cool that they let you eat in lobby, and people, you know, some people were playing games in lobby, like, you know, or, like, people were doing photo shoots in lobby, too. Like, it was just a very chill lobby. Like, the hotel staff was really nice.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think that's it. I think on Friday night, I was, like, actually pretty tired because I didn't get much sleep the night before, so I didn't really do any late-night events. I just sort of ate food and just chilled in the lobby. Until going back to my own hotel. It also rained, by the way. I forgot my umbrella. I brought my umbrella, but I left it in my hotel room. So I was trying to, like, wait out the rain and then walk back. And yeah. I felt bad for people who, like, were running in the rain in costumes that may not be water-friendly.
Yeah.
It rained a lot on and off during the weekend.
Wow. I take it was pretty humid over the weekend.
Yeah. Well, actually, the first day wasn't bad. But on Saturday, I thought was the most humid for me. Anyways, it felt, I was, like, sweating a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But the Con Center, you know, it's well air-conditioned, though, and the Con Center is fine in a hotel. But just outside, it wasn't. Like Line Con, actually, on Saturday, I had, like, a bit of a Line Con situation.
Oh, trying do to, tell.
Yeah, trying to get into the Con on Saturday took an insane amount of time. Like, it was like the line was barely moving. It wrapped around a lot. I don't know why they didn't have the problem on Friday, but on Saturday morning it was just, I don't know if just more people were coming or something, but it was just huge line. And at one point staff were like, oh, they split the line in half or something, told people to go around the other side of the building, there's our entrance. So everyone went around the other side of the building, but then by the time we got there, they were like, oh, apparently there's a misunderstanding, that section was only for people without bags or something.
Huh.
So a lot of angry people who were like, but we were told to come here, what? And then obviously they can't feel like go back to your original spot line because obviously they are moved along and you can't, you would have to go back to the back of the line. And I was like, oh no, because I had a bag with me. And I was like, darn it. And then, because you had to go back to the back line. But then a staff member saw that I had a press pass and they were like, oh no, you can come in. And I was like, oh cool. And I just went in. But I didn't realize that because I was pretty sure even press would have to go through bag check and stuff. But I guess on Saturday they just felt that, I don't know, but the staff person who saw my badge was like, oh no, you can come in. And I was like, okay. So then I got in, but I was waiting for a long time in the line though. Like both the original line and then when we split into two. So I'm not quite sure what was happening, but you know, it was just like, it was a hot, humid day. It wasn't really the best to be standing out in the sun.
Mm-hmm.
Especially people in those like furry cosplays where like, you know, other costumes are like not summer friendly. It was like, I have so much respect for those people.
Oh, definitely.
Oh, I don't know how, because it was really humid in line. And, oh, and people, you know, with body paint and stuff, too. I was like, I can't imagine. But in the con itself, by the time I got in, that's why I was a bit late for the Love Live photo shoot. When I got there, I only caught the second half, but there were so many Love Live cosplayers. I was like, oh my gosh, so many.
Mm-hmm.
It took up, like, a pretty good section of that staircase that I was at.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it was really cool because, like, people were really chill and really nice. And, like, I was standing in the, for most of it, I was standing, like, in the audience section watching. And I heard, like, a lot of people I overheard had really positive comments, which was great. Like, everyone was like, oh my god, everyone's so cute. You know, everyone's just like, yay. So it was very, like, positive vibes, which I thought was nice.
Mm-hmm. That's nice.
Yeah, like, everyone was, like, super nice, I guess, that I just overheard people. Like, they basically had nothing but nice things to say and compliments to say about all the cosplayers.
Mm-hmm.
And on Saturday afternoon, like shortly after so the Lollipop shoot, then I had to change shortly after to Vocaloid because I wanted to go to Vocaloid shoot. That one was a really chill and fun gathering. And one thing I thought was really cute was there was a Miku cosplayer who had a banner from like the 10th anniversary of Miku. And like at the end of the shoot, like the host was allowing people to make requests. So that Miku was like, can I have all the Mikus take a photo of the banner? I thought that was really cute because the 10th anniversary was this year, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like a recent new thing. And there's also a lot of people who cosplay more rare characters like I usually don't see, like Oliver and stuff. So I thought that was really nice that they had like that diversity there, too.
Oh, that's nice. Mm-hmm. So anything else on Saturday?
And another thing, as well as in general, is, you know, Otakucon's anime con. But I saw a ton of, like, non-anime cosplays, too. So, like, there was a lot of Voltron. Actually, I saw, like, a bunch of Game of Thrones, too, which makes sense with the new season.
Oh, absolutely.
And, obviously, you have some comics. And Oh, I saw Miraculous Ladybug too. I saw that, and so it was actually really nice to see like a whole variety. Because one thing I really like about cons, when you see like even at anime con, you can see other stuff. Just like when you go to a comic con, you can see other things too. Mm-hmm. And also on Saturday, I went to the masquerade.
Oh, how'd that go? Do tell.
That was really fun. So, oh my god, but the line was insane. Another line coming. People waiting for masquerade line lined up so early. Like, I think people started lining up, I think, 3 hours before the event or something. Mm-hmm. And so it was right where the way the con was set up, I guess in the very, very top floor of the convention center was where the main event's ballroom was. So you go up, like, a ton of escalators, and then you get to the very top, and there's a humongous line. But I was trying to figure out, because they said they had press seating. So it was, like, a lot of, like, asking lots of people, like, asking multiple staff members, asking information booths, eventually asking basically people kept singing to numbers, like, go over to that booth. Or go over to that person. Or look for a person with this shirt. And then eventually, after a big, I guess, sort of domino-like effect, I got basically to the front door of the main events ballroom, and someone was like, just go outside the room. Talk to the person outside the room. So I went there, had the front of the line off to the side for a while, and I was, like, a bit concerned because I guess a lot of people want to see Masquerade. It's one of, like, the biggest events at the con.
Oh, absolutely.
So, when they were seating people, the poor person who was, like, guarding the main front door was like, okay, trying to count out, you know, for each row, like, you know, however many people. And, like, oh, if you're in a group, you know, people want to sit with their friends. Oh, you have a group of five? Like, sorry, you have to wait. Like, we're trying to fill the row evenly. The next table will come. And it was this whole very hectic but very organized way of, like, counting people, making sure you can fill up the rows efficiently. And I didn't know when to, I didn't want to interrupt, so I was just kind of staying there. And then this other, I guess, security guard saw and was like, oh, what's going on? Where are you here? And I was like, oh, I'm trying to look for press seating. And then she was really nice and took me in directly and showed me where to go.
Oh, that's nice.
And actually, yeah, Prowse got to sit right in the front row, which is cool. Like, right with, like, some of the video staff. Mm-hmm. And what throughout the whole thing, the host was really fun. And he was being, I'm not sure if he was cosplaying a specific character or just, like, an OC, but he was being, like, a secret agents type person. And the host was fun, and they had, like, a trending hashtag, and throughout the whole entire masquerade, they would, like, show random tweets that are at the hashtag, like, from audience members. So I think it was cute that the audience members wanted to see, like, what they had tweeted, and, like, oh, look, that's me. Mm-hmm. And it was really fun, and they had a lot of different, like, first, the way it was set up is that first they had all the walk-ons from Hall Cosplay Contest, and they divided into different categories. So it was, like, epic category, there's a villain category, there's a Genki category. So, like, they had them by categories for the walk-ons. And after that, then they did the skits.
Okay, so what can you tell me about the skits? Do you have any favorites or any of the skits stood out?
Yeah, it was a ton of Love Live skits, just saying. A ton of Love Live dance covers, actually.
So it was just, so if you were in Love Live, you probably did a dance cover.
A lot of Love Live dance covers. There was Upload, there was Muse, yeah.
You see, if I want to do a Love Live skit, I don't want to do a dance skit. I just want to do, like, a comedy skit. You know, like, just kind of, like, just Love Live characters just kind of, like, just talking trash. I don't know. Because I actually did a Love Live skit at Otakon Vegas earlier this year, and it was just pretty much L.A. Ayase just talking trash on, like, other idols.
Oh, like trashing.
Yeah, just trashing idols from, like, other stuff.
So funny. Yeah, no, like, every Love Live skit that I saw was all, like, dance cover stuff. Actually, one Vocaloid cosplayer actually sung a song and played guitar, which is cool.
Oh, so they did that all live?
Yeah, there was a Miku that did, like, she played guitar and she sung live, like, she did, like, a song cover, essentially.
All right.
And I thought that was really cool, because I was like, whoa, you're, like, playing guitar and, like, singing. This is really impressive. Mm-hmm. There was a ton of Love Live ones. There's actually a few Fire Emblem ones, which I'm not familiar with, but I liked how they were, like, amusing to watch. Like, they were nice to watch even if you weren't familiar to fandom. Like, I felt like a lot of the contestants did a good job of that. Like, for example, there was a really funny Pokemon skit. Mm-hmm. And what was it? I forgot the name. But yeah, I know Justin James, but the new thing, because I don't really know the new stuff that well, but the Skull people, what are they called?
Team Skull.
Yeah, Team Skull. So it was basically Team Rocket versus Team Skull kind of thing. But it was, like, funny because Team Rocket was, like, on vacation, like, in Tropical Paradise, wherever. And then the Team Skull was, like, trolling them or whatever. And it was really funny because Team Rocket was like, oh, these millennials or whatever. And it was really cute. And at the end, like, they end up begging Team Skull to take them to a party or whatever. Yeah, it's cute. Mm-hmm. Basically, they, like, got over their differences, kind of, to go to this party. And there was, I am not too familiar with Hamilton, but I know that's a really popular musical. Mm-hmm. And one of the Fire Emblem skits was like a cover of a Hamilton song.
Hmm, interesting.
But they like, I guess they had changed it to fit, I assume they changed it to fit the game. I'm not familiar with the game, but it was like a whole like dance, acting, singing thing.
Huh, interesting. And I had to check that out on YouTube.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. And there was another Fire Emblem skit where they did also a cover, like when they changed the lyrics, like when they changed fit on our Fire Emblem one, I think that was like to an Aladdin song. Mm-hmm. And the one at the beginning. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I thought that was cute. There was also, what skits were there? There's a few Vocaloid ones too, which made me happy because I like seeing Vocaloid performances. They had, a few Vocaloid, like, dance cover things too.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Do you know which, skit took home on Best in Show?
Yeah, it was the, one of the Vocaloid ones. I don't know the name of the song, but it was a song that's like the retelling of Hansel and Gretel, when it's like Rin and Linus as Hansel and Gretel, and then Mako is like the witch. And they're all like fruit themed. So the outfits are really cool. And they had also made the, I think one of the members, I think it was, or maybe two of them, had actually made all the costumes too. So I think during judging, they also chose like costumeship in consideration for some of them, like if you had also done the costumeship. Because obviously in Masquerade, when you just get some people, you can enter like with purchased or commissioned costume, you just have to like note that you didn't make it, you know?
Yeah, that's fair.
What it was, yeah. You just need to, like, not lie about it, you know? But they had done the construction themselves, and it was really cute. Like, the Mako, I remember, I think it was strawberry-themed, and then Rin was citrus, and then Len was apple, which I thought was interesting, because Len is usually banana-related. Mm. but I guess wearing a banana costume wouldn't really be the most interesting. But yeah, it was like apple themed. It was really cute and very sparkly. Mm-hmm. And the dance was really good too.
All right. Yeah. So anything else from?
I can't remember who won the other award, but.
Mm-hmm. But it seems like it was a fun show.
Yeah, it was a really fun show. I definitely laughed out loud too, and it was really cool seeing everyone's different like costumes and all their performances and. It was just really fun because it looks like a lot of performers had a lot of fun on the stage, but I think it's an important thing. Mm-hmm. And also, I was at the Masquerade, so I didn't hear about this. I don't know if you heard about the Otakon quote-unquote flood.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
Yep, so there was a rainstorm, and then basically what the facts are is some water started coming down from the ceiling at Aris Alley, and yeah, that's essentially what had happened in Aris Alley. I heard that the staff was really quick to clear the room of attendees, but I heard there was also confusion over what actually happened. I'm glad no one got hurt, though, because that's pretty scary. But I guess, like, I know I talked to one person, Aris Alley, who was actually a vendor. Like, she had a table there, and she said she has a number of people saying, like, oh, no, move your table, like, move your table. And she was like, wait, what's going on? But, like, everyone's sort of dragging their tables, I guess, away from where the leak was, because obviously they don't want to damage their products.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it was probably from the rain, because it was raining a lot that weekend too.
Mm-hmm.
But I heard that they were able to like fix it, and they just had to move some tables around, but it was fine.
Hmm. So anything else you did on Saturday?
Nope, I think that was it. That was it, because it was a burlesque show on Saturday I was curious about, but I didn't end up going because after Masquerade it was really late and I needed to get dinner. I was like, it's like almost 11 p.m. like it was basically 11 p.m. I'm like, I need dinner. So I did not do a tour burlesque, but yeah, I think that was essentially Saturday. And after dinner, what did I do after dinner? But after I went, so I ate dinner at the Marquee, and then after dinner, it mostly stopped raining, so I went back to my hotel, the Grand Hyatt, and then I just chilled there.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, tell me about Sunday, the last day.
The final day. Oh my gosh, Sunday. So Sunday's the last day, and it felt unreal. Like, the weekend just flew by. Like, I was just like, how is it already Sunday? And that was actually the first day when I actually got to browse the Aris Alley, you know, and actually look at everything, or almost everything, and that is huge, I'm telling you. The Aris Alley was, I think it might be as big as the dealer's room, or if not, it's almost as big. It was also very huge. I also got lost trying to find a certain booth, but I think that yeah, the only thing I bought prior to Sunday besides food, like, you know, obviously I had to buy food throughout the weekend, but like actual things I bought that's not food, all I bought was on Friday night in dealers, I got a CD, but nothing else on the weekend. So on Sunday in Aris Dali, I was like, oh my gosh, I need to, like, well, I was trying to, like, not buy anything, but, you know, it's hard to help it. I love supporting artists and buying art, so I got literally all the Diana Waste art that I didn't have yet. Mm-hmm. And also, like, Otakon's such a great place to shop at because I felt like there were so many different options in the artist alley. Like, there's original art, like, you know, sketches. You also get commissions, you know, watercolors, etc. Fan art, plushies, pillows, like, they had fashion, too. Like, a lot of J fashion vendors, too. And people make jewelry. There's just a lot. People were, who were, like, had their own comics and things or their own doujin that they made were selling those, too. So there was just a lot going on at Aris Dali, and it was kind of overwhelming because there was just so much, like, it's just a lot going on. So many booths, everyone's really talented, like, oh my gosh, if I had more money, I would buy, like, so much art.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I ended up only buying, like, one poster size print. I got one, like, sort of, like, 8x11 size print, like, standard, and then one, like, tiny postcard print, were the three prints I got. Mm-hmm. And I also got, like, I got a keychain. And, oh, I had to visit Sweet Mildred, because, as you know, I love Sweet Mildred.
I love her, too.
Every time I'm at a con, I'm like, I gotta go shop with Sweet Mildred. Like, I gotta go buy her stuff, or at least look at her stuff and try not to, like, spend too much money in her booth. But I got a bonnet from her and also a headband, one with, like, a real skull on it. And I've always wanted one of the skull headbands for the longest time and never got one, so I finally got one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she gave me, like, these two postcards, because she has, I guess, an artist, like, did some art for her, and they're really pretty, and so they sort of, like, feature her designs on them, too.
All right, was that it for a Sunday?
For a Sunday, I also went to the dealer's room again, just to see how much I could remember. I wanted to do Purikura again, because I was causing Diana Waste. I really wanted super sparkly Diana pictures, but it was down, and I heard from someone that, I guess, the day before, it was down at some point during Saturday as well. I guess, I don't know if it broke or they had some issues with the machine, but it was out of service on Sunday. But in the dealers, like, again, same with the RSL, an observation I had was that it's super diverse in terms of the merchandise they have. Like, obviously, there's anime and manga merchandise, but there's DVDs, CDs, manga, doujin. Like, they had stage play booth, like, the stage play stuff. You know, like, playbills and, like, photo books and things like that. Plushies, tons of figures, you know, clothing, multiple wig sellers. Like, they had this, you know, the Love Live, did you hear about the Love Live Aqua, like, the poster girls, like, for the world?
Yeah.
Thing? Mm-hmm. They had a booth for that specifically, with all the limited merch.
Oh, did you get anything from them?
I didn't get anything from them, but I took a selfie with the Mari, who was representing USA. They're like a giant Mari.
Because I did get you the Ruby keychain.
Huh?
I did get you the Ruby keychain when they were at AX.
Ruby keychain? Yeah, I didn't get anything. I actually almost got the Ruby keychain, but I didn't.
Yeah, I haven't mailed it out yet because I wanted to wait till you moved to your new address.
Yeah, wait, because I don't want it to feel like my landlord. No.
Yeah.
Oh, no, let's not talk about that because I'm still here. But anyways, yeah. Yeah, let's not mail it till later. But yeah, I almost got the Ruby one because she wears the hanbok and it's so pretty. But I didn't because I was like, oh, I'm not going to, because I wanted to get all of them. Like, oh, no, I'm not. But one of my friends bought the whole box out of all the girls.
Oh, nice. But yeah, Ruby will be on your way to your new place. I have the Dia one on my work keychain.
Oh, so cute. I want to put her on my keychain, too. I was really excited that they had, like, hanbok. I was like, oh my gosh. It suits her. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I love it. It's so funny. Mari is like Mari in the USA or whatever.
And she's a cowgirl.
She's a cowgirl. Or, like, when Kanan is Australia, right?
Yeah,
like,
she's an Aussie.
Reminds me of, like, Steve Irwin, I don't know.
I was thinking that, too, just, like, yeah, Kanan, Crocodile Hunter.
Crocodile Hunter, yeah, I was like, that's so cute, yeah. And then I was, like, kind of confused as to, like, the difference between Taiwan and China, because it's T-Pal for both, but, like, the difference is one was, like, a short one was a long one with a big slit, so I was like,
I was confused about that, too, because Taiwan is technically nationalist China.
I know. So I was like, I feel like it would make more sense for one in, like, a Hanfu and the other in a Qipao. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like Taiwan would fit the Qipao better. And, like, I don't know, like, in China they should do, like, a Hanfu or something. Because mm-hmm. they both had a Qipao is what it was. Just one was short and one was long. yeah. So, interesting.
Absolutely.
And also, I had Thailand, too. That was cute. Like, Hanamaru had Thailand. I was like, that's so cute. But, yeah, no, that whole booth was really cute. And then And dealers, too. What else? Oh, I went to that dealer that always has Dino-y stuff.
Of course. I'm not surprised.
And I got 3 blind boxes, the 3 that were left in the box set, and I'd asked the seller, like, I'd never bought it before, and I almost bought it at a different con, but I didn't, because it's like those things that they stand on the cups.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
The glass cup. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I never got them from, like, what the heck I'm going to do with it, and one of my friends with me was, like, a total enabler, and was like, but it's cute, and like, oh, wait, I think they come with a stand. So I asked, they're like, oh, yeah, they come with a stand, you can stick them in, so you don't have to put it on the cup. I'm like, oh, okay, maybe I'll get it. I was like, oh, but it's 3, and then she told me that she opens each box set individually, so you're guaranteed not to get duplicates.
Oh, good.
I did not get it. So I bought 3, and I was so excited, and I opened them. My friend actually filmed this. You can probably watch my reactions later. Like, I didn't post it yet, but she, like, filmed me reacting as I opened all of them. And I got, at first I thought I was lied to, because when I opened them, I got a Miyuki. And then a Ryosuke, and then another Miyuki. I was like, wait, but there's no duplicates. No, I don't have 2 Miyukis. I'm so mad. But then when I looked closer, I realized they were different. And in the box set, they actually included 2 Miyukis that you could get, because he's the most popular character. But the only difference is one is winking and one is not. Hmm. It's, like, identical otherwise. So I'm like, this is such a cop-out. Like, at least, like, change his outfit or pose or something. Like, I don't know. Literally just one with both eyes open and one with one eye closed. I was like, okay, then. But then my friend mentioned, like, what are the odds? Like, someone else might have been trying to get him. Like, ooh, my odds are increased because there's 2 of them. And then I can't imagine if someone went through that and they still didn't get him.
Mm-hmm.
But I got stuck with 2 of him, so it's like, whatever. It's all good. That's the fun of blind boxes anyways, like, the surprise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and what else did I do on Sunday? Oh, on Sunday, yeah, so after... Oh, so I was shopping and I left and I was like, okay, I'm done with shopping. But then I heard from a friend who texted me a photo of something. And I freaked out because I never saw this item. And I've seen people have it online and I want it. It was like a Sato snapback. And I freaked out because I've seen it online. I was like, where is this vendor? Is it artist or dealers? I was freaking out. And then finally, I found out it was in the dealers. And I met up with someone, one of my online friends, who I like haven't actually hung out with, and then I showed her the picture. She wanted one too, and we freaked out. We basically aggressively power walked throughout the dealer's room, asking around, trying to find this booth. We had no idea which booth it was. We just had a photo, and we found it when it was like 10 minutes left before closing.
Huh.
So we were like, her. They had the announcement, you know, being like 3 minutes left to make your purchase or whatever. We were fine, and we're like, we decided, we're purchasing, we're doing it now. And we got, it was perfect because when we found the booth, they had exactly 2 left in stock.
Oh, wow.
One for each of us. Hmm. And it was like her mom was there, too, power walking, but that's not helping us. Her mom was like, can you imagine if there's only 1 left? Like, you, like, fight it out for the last hat. Like, but, yeah, that was, like, a very intense experience, power walking. I've never done that before at a con, like, looking for something as it was closing. Like, that was the first time I'd ever done that, ever.
Oh, yeah. You can just really feel the adrenaline.
I know, I was like, my heart was pumping, I was like, whoa, I was like furiously looking left and right, and we found one that looked like the right booth, went to him, but they didn't have it, and we're like, no, then they're like, oh no, we have another booth over there, where, in that direction, and we're like, oh, we're going that direction, we're like, because I guess that one vendor had 2 different booths, and I'm not really sure why they did that, but I guess that makes sense, they can capture more eyes, I guess, mm-hmm. Spread it out a bit, but anyways, we finally found it, I was like, the last purchase, we're like, phew, we did it. But yeah, that was very interesting. And then, of course, after that, it's obviously time to leave the con. But before, like, official left, me and my purple buddies actually went to Shake Shack to get, like, our litter thing before leaving, which I mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
And so that was nice. And, like, it was really good food.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty close to the con, too. Like, it was right... that Shake Shack was right across from their hotel.
Mm-hmm. So
I forgot the name of their hotel, but it was also similar when they let you eat in the lobby, because we got to go and just ate, like, in their lobby basement thingy. They had, like, in their hotel, they had, like, a lounge thingy. The basement that you could go and, like, eat food there, and there's, like, TVs and stuff.
Mm-hmm. So what are your final thoughts on Otakon 2017?
My final thoughts is I love the new venue. Like, definitely hope they stay there for a long time. It's a great venue, great location. Staff is amazing, like, everything... super conveniently located. Like, I definitely like this location better than the Baltimore one.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like it's amazing. Yeah. Overall, how was the con?
And the con was lots of fun. Like, super good vibes. Like, it was great. Like, I felt like attendees are great. Like, staff was really great, too. they had a lot of different events going on. You know, lots of panel options, events. The dealers and artists are amazing. Like, oh, also another thing I did on Sunday, I forgot to, no, not Sunday, sorry, Saturday, I forgot to mention, I can't forget this. On Saturday, I went to a BJD meetup.
Oh, how did that go?
I can't believe I forgot to mention this. Oh my God, I'm sorry. I like just like, oh my God, yeah, the BJD meetup. It was in the lobby of the Merritt Marquee, actually. So the BJD meetup was really cool. They had so many people brought their BJDs with them. So many, like, all different sizes. They had really pretty face-ups. And there was a bunch of BJDs that were wearing related fashion. It was super cute. Like, they had, like, full-on cords going on for these dolls, I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, they also had two BJDs that were actually cosplaying as Rin and Len, the Vocaloids.
Oh, sweet.
Cool. Yeah, it's like cosplaying, but like, oh, there's BJD's cosplaying, it's so cute. And like, one of them actually even brought, like, her bag with her, and, like, she had different wigs for her BJD, so when I sat with her and we talked about her dolls, she actually switched the wigs for me to see, and even, like, showed me, like, that one of her dolls, she really likes her without a wig, too, like, just, like, bald, and showed me what she looks like bald, too, and I was like... And another person had these twin dolls, like, a boy and a girl, and they had really cute twinning outfits. Like, matching outfits.
Mm-hmm.
So cute. I have a lot of photos from that meet. I took photos of all the dolls. I was like, BJD heaven. So I'll send you some of the pictures for the con report, too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, definitely mention BJD meetups. Because I remember I used to do those, like, way back in the day.
I know.
And I just fallen out of it for such a yeah. long time.
This is my first time going to, like, an actual BJD meetup. Like, I met up with someone who had BJDs. Anime Boston before, but it wasn't a meetup. It was just like I met up with her because she had BJDs cosplaying as Dino Ace characters. I was like freaking out, like I need to see BJDs. But this is my first like actual BJD meetup, and they were really nice. I told like, oh, I don't have any BJDs, but can I join? They're like, oh yeah, of course. And they're really nice. And I was like, oh my God, you can all of them. Yeah. Ugh, it was so pretty. And there's so many. And they took up a few tables too. There was so many dolls.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them even brought their doll furniture with them, so their dolls could, like, sit in the little armchairs and stuff. Super cute. Oh, and then some of them were talking about their dolls were friends and things. It was so cute. But yeah, the BJD meetup, I can't believe I really forgot that was on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cool, cool. Anything else? I feel like I'm maybe forgetting something else.
Well, whatever you forget, you can always mention on the report.
That's true. I'll be like, oh, by the way, something else. But yeah, it was a good con. It was a good con. I made lots of new friends, and I also got to see old friends, so it was just very nice on the friends side of things, too.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. Any final words on Otakon 2017 before we wrap up?
Yes, you should come next year.
Of course. I need to save up and figure it all out.
I need to figure it out. Because I wish you were there. I was like, oh my God. I was like, if only they had energy from here, it'd be so much better. But I think you'll love it, too. I think you'll love the venue.
Oh, it should be full of fun. Because I'll definitely have, like, Dia ready by then. Because, like, yeah. We need to do more Dia and Ruby cosplay.
And it works because you're like my older sister, too. You're older. You're like... older sister figure.
Oh, thank you. That's really great. Appreciate it. Like, yay, I have an Emoto in New York. Yeah, because I just started just getting further into Love Live Sunshine, and I got our copy editor, Jared, to just sit down and watch it with me. And then when he was like, he went in not just knowing anything about the characters or anything about the series, and I didn't even tell him who I wanted to cosplay as. He looks at Dia, he's like, oh my God, that is so you. I'm like, okay, we're doing this.
So you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Aw, so cute.
All right.
I love Love Live. It's great.
I do too. I don't think I'll ever stop loving Love Live. And I know they have a new cast of girls now for this third series. I'm like, yeah, oh my God, so much to keep up with. God.
I know. Wait, haven't we been cosplaying it for like 4 or 5 years now? I feel like. How many years has it been?
I've lost track because I just got back into Idolmaster cosplay at AX, and that's when I did Chihaya, and that's when I did Ritsuko. Like, I'm doing characters other than Azusa? Well, whoa.
I think I spotted some Idolmaster from a distance. I didn't actually get to say hi to them. I remember being on an escalator looking over. Is that a Miki cosplayer? I was like, wait. I was trying to see him. It was like, already on escalator going up. I was like, oh, mm-hmm. Darn it. They're going down. I was like, I think I spotted Idolmaster. Yeah.
All right.
And
go on.
Oh, I was about to mention too, I didn't actually go to the Otakon photo suite thing, but remember the photo suite at Baltimore?
Yeah.
But this one, they had it there too. And it's kind of like when you first walk into Con, it's pretty close to like the entrance, but it looks huge. Like when I peeked in, it looks like a huge area for the photo suite.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, I was like, is that whoa? Yeah, there was a lot going. There was apparently a maid cafe too. I didn't get to go, but I heard there was a maid cafe there also. And I know you used to go to the Swing Dance Lounge, right?
Yeah, I went to Swing Dance Lounge the first year, but the subsequent years we didn't go because I was already tired by then.
Yeah, I did go. I wanted to check it out, but I was also tired by then, too. And I was kind of like, for both nights, I was like, well, I want to eat food now.
Yeah, I usually get that feel. I was like, oh, I could either do swing dancing or I could eat. I think I'll eat.
I was like, I'd rather eat and be nourished. So, but I know that they have the Swing Dance Lounge at the new location, too. Mm-hmm. So... And one person I talked to who went said it was really fun, and it was pretty similar to, like, the year before, like, in the old location.
Yeah. If there's...
And it's apparently, like, in the same area. It's on the same floor with, like, the maid cafe, with the Oda cafe, which is, like, karaoke room, and the Otakon Matsuri area. So, like, they all have, I guess, all that in the same area, which is cool.
Mm-hmm. All right. Without any further ado, this pretty much wraps up Otakon 2017.
Yeah.
We're hoping that we'll have a full team in 2018, depending on how things go, but most likely we'll be there.
And we'll be there.
We will be there. And this has been another edition of Zero Hour with Lee Mei and Eric Kagami. And remember, the con is what you make of it, so make it a good one. We'll see you at the con.